Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. My name is Farley Malaris, as I said, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And welcome to yet another edition. And today we're going to do a double topic, because by popular demand, there's some people out there that found it impossible to get a hold of the Silver Birch books. So what we're going to do is we're going to read a little bit out of Silver Birch in the second part of the show. And the first part of the show, the first part of the topic, we're going to talk about enemies. Because I feel, because we've been discussing karma lately, that it is very important to understand that there are some people out there in your life right now that you might think know and love you, maybe even people you're married to, living with, dating, having intercourse socially or sexually with, people that could be working with you, for you, your bosses, your parents, your friends. God knows where they're coming from. People all over the place that are really your enemies. But sometimes we don't know that. Sometimes we don't understand that. And I am going to teach you today and show you astrologically how you can find out sometimes ahead of time who a person might be who's an enemy. And karmically, as far as reincarnation is concerned, the question is always asked me, Farley, how do we know and why do we even have enemies? This is an interesting point. Okay, this is really an interesting point. Problem is that in past lives, one of the reasons why we are human again and alive again is because many of us obviously did not live the most perfect lives. In fact, we were the enemy in past lives, if you get my point. What is an enemy? Well, first of all, a person that would hurt or abuse or manipulate or take advantage of or lie to or injure would definitely, in my opinion, be identified as an enemy. And if somebody lives a lifestyle filled with abusing other people, then when they come back in their next life, they can expect to receive abuse. Metaphysically, it is up to us to define this enemy status. Now, why is that? Well, because if you're married to or living with somebody who you might have hurt or killed in a past life, and you don't identify and recognize this and make a peace and move on, then you are subject to constant attack. Now, I, for one, because I have Saturn in the 11th house, unfortunately, have had experiences in my life where some people who I actually have recognized to be my best friends and closest family members turn out to be people who I feel either intentionally hurt me or abuse me, or, you know, metaphysically, let's just say I put myself in a position to allow them to get to me. And obviously, if you're around people that are loving and spiritual and supportive and nurturing and nourishing and do not mean you any harm, well, they're not an enemy and they never intend to be. You know what kind of people those are, because they sometimes will last in your life your whole life or majority of your life until they die or until you die, and everything is peachy keen. Now, I am talking about people that initially you start out loving, whether they're a friend or a relative or a lover, could even be a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, or even a child. But astrologically, metaphysically, and karmically, there is some pain, there is some hurt, there is some anger and hostility that is being carried forward from a past life. Now, the question at this point would be, Farley, how do we identify these individuals? How do we know who's the enemy and who's not the enemy? Well, in astrology, there is a vibration that is known as Pisces factor. Frankly, if you're a Pisces, or if you have a Pisces moon or a Pisces rising, statistically speaking, we have discovered, astrologically speaking, that people with Pisces planets in their chart, with the exception of Saturn, sometimes, oftentimes, will have the highest precedence, the highest percentage of drug and alcohol abuse and addiction. It's not an accident that a lot of heroin addicts are Pisces rising, are Pisces moons. A lot of people that are drunks and dope addicts that can't escape this will have a very significant Pisces factor. Now, next to having planets in Pisces, If you have any planets in house 12, and you just have to check your astroscope to see if it says planets in house 12, then you'll know whether or not you have any Pisces energy in your chart. Now, the reason for this is that these people are so sensitive and so vulnerable. And wait a second, it doesn't mean all people with Pisces are going to be escape artists as far as substance abuse, because many of you are gifted and able to be in a situation where you're not. In fact, where you're gifted and truly spiritual. You know, it depends a lot on the aspects and the transits and the family and the childhood and the environment. But the point is that having planets in Pisces, because it's the 12th sign, it's the last sign, Pisces is also known as the house where we can discover enemy karma, are people that would turn on us and reveal themselves as someone that we have created in our lives that would eventually cause us pain and hurt and sorrow. Now, I myself, when these people are revealed, I either try to steer clear of them, or I process them out of my life, or if they happen to be in my career, then I try to continue my career with as little contact with these people as possible. I respect them, but I just don't have any exchange with them anymore. But, you know, like I say, if you do have Pisces planets in your chart or 12th house planets, then sometimes you might feel like everybody is the enemy. Now, there's a reason for that, okay? Because people with Pisces factor in their chart, either pronounced in the natal chart from Pisces planets or 12th house planets, will be people that are so sensitive and so vulnerable emotionally that they may be a lot more easily hurt. You've heard the saying, thin-skinned? Okay, well, you don't want to, you know, use those words too much, but you know, we're talking about some sensitive puppies here, some sensitive popal dogs, people that really get ticked off or feel sad or broken or hurt easily. Now, a lot of you might be looking at your horoscopes and going, well, Farley, I don't have any Pisces in my chart. I don't have any 12th house planets. Well, everybody's got a Neptune. No matter where you go, everyone has a Neptune, and everyone may have stress in their Neptune, and everybody might have a situation in their charts where they might have Uranus square Neptune or another planet square their Neptune, and that is what we also call negative Pisces factor. So once again, having Pisces planets, 12th house planets, or afflicted Neptunes. Now, I have Neptune in the 12th, and it's a Venus square it. So yes, I'm one of those people that has been known to be sensitive, vulnerable, and emotional, and I guess God meant it, and I meant it to be that way in order to be who and what I am, so I can understand these lessons. First of all, how do you identify the culprits? You know, these people that we've hurt and killed in past lives that come on into our lives as lovers and family members and friends and such as that, how do we identify them? Well, oftentimes, and first of all, we identify them if they have planets that are located in our 12th house. Because usually, if you're smart enough to find your 12th house, and mine happens to be, my 12th house begins at 20 degrees Virgo and it goes to 20 degrees Libra, and the danger zone of that area for me would be any area where there would be planets between 20 Virgo and 20 Libra that would stress out planets in my chart. So what you got to do, like if you're Virgo rising, then your 12th house, let's say you're 5 Virgo rising, then your 12th house would start at the sign preceding Virgo, which would be Leo, and it would go from 5 Leo to 5 Virgo, and that would be your 12th house. Now, to find your danger zone, you have to find the area in that 12th house where, if planets were placed in that zone, they would square, oppose, or quinx other planets in your chart. And if you listen to the show a lot, you'll be well aware that whenever anyone has anything from 26 Virgo, which is square my Uranus, up to 29 Virgo, which is square my Uranus, and into Libra, which would be square my Venus, which is my chart ruler, by the way, and then all the way up until, I'd say, 13 Libra. 13 Libra, because that's the widest square to my Venus possible. Before 26 Virgo, there are no planets from 20 to 26 Virgo that are in a danger zone for me, because they complement my chart, sextiles and trines. After 13 Libra, when they hit 15 Libra and beyond, also sextiles in my chart. So my danger zone, or where I would identify enemies, oftentimes occurs when there are planets between 26 Virgo and 13 Libra. Now, interesting point is that because I have planets in the 12th house, which you might have, that means you probably were quite the warrior in a past life, and you were born to be philosopher, vulnerable philosopher, hopefully spiritual philosopher, and you also were born to have people also show themselves and turn on you and reveal their enemy status at a certain time in your life. Which means that now, if we find a total of 4 danger zones in my chart as far as an enemy revelation factor, because not only looking at planets that might be going through my 12th house or people that might have planets in their chart that are in my 12th house that set off squares and oppositions, but now we find that if there are planets in Capricorn or in Aries or in Cancer in other people's charts that would be anywhere in stress, right, to the combination of my, actually in stress to my 12th house planets, which basically means because I have a Neptune at 10 Libra and a Mars at 15 Libra, if somebody has any Capricorn around 10 or 15 or any Aries around 10 or 15 or any Cancer around 10 or 15, then they are going to square or oppose my 12th house planets, and they also may be identified as potential enemy karma. Now, when you find out someone's the enemy, you're not supposed to shoot them or maim them or hurt them back. The most important part of this topic is understanding, number one, if you do have Pisces planets or 12th house planets or an afflicted Neptune, that there are going to be people in your life that are going to pretend to be your friends and lovers, and eventually they're going to turn on you. And when they do, you'll look at the combination of the charts and you'll go, oh, this person has Mars square my Neptune, or oh, this person has Saturn sitting on my Neptune, or oh, this person's sun is square my sun in Pisces, or oh, this person has Venus square my moon in my 12th house. And all of a sudden you're going to go, wow, what happened to love? Now it's hate. See, the worst thing you can do is start a war. The worst thing you can do is battle back. But some people that are married, right, or friends, or in families, will discover they have an enemy karma with an individual, and what they'll do is they'll allow it to occur. You know, they'll allow it to ensue, and they will not do anything about absolving it. And that's why there'll be lots of pain and hostility and anger and sometimes physical anxiety and mental anxiety and emotional anxiety. What I choose to do once I identify someone who might be someone that I might have hurt or killed or injured in a past life, who I not feel is turning on me, is what I'll do is A, either process them out of my life, or B, if I want to keep my job or stay where I work, steer clear of them. You see, the problem is here that sometimes the people that we entrust with our most sacred desires, our most sacred dreams, that locker room talk that sometimes men have between them, sometimes those people that we would hang out with, go to ball games with, party with, go out and go traveling with or whatever, would turn on us with a hatred and a vengeance, with threats and possible violence one day, where your reaction is like, wow, I can't believe that came out of their mouth. This even occurs parents and children, children and parents, brothers and sisters. Just because you're born to a family, you might have wiped out that family in a past life as a cavalryman in the 5th Army, and now you're born to a bunch of Indians, American Indian souls that you butchered and slaughtered in a past life. Well, you know, the answer to this karma might be just to steer clear of the family, God bless them, but move on. You know, move on to something else, because, for example, my mother has Mars in Libra at around 2 degrees in my 12th house, in my danger zone, square my Venus in Cancer. So, obviously, there's a really intense karma there. See what I mean? And, of course, my dad has a bunch of planets in Cancer right there, square my Neptune in the 12th house. So, major example number one is that I might have harmed these people in a past life, and that right there is cause enough, karmically speaking, for there to be family problems or dysfunctional family situations because of all the anger and the hatred and sometimes violence that occurs in childhood towards children, because people realize after the kids are born that these kids aren't what they wanted, or they may not love them like they should, or there's a problem there. They can't understand. They can't focus. They can't pinpoint. Of course, a lot of us in dysfunctional family situations grow up, and we finally realize what's wrong. If we ever do, we get out and try to lick our wounds. But you know, the most important part of this topic is to know your 12th house, or know your Pisces planets, and know your Neptune. And when planets are either moving through your 12th house, or they are square or opposition planets in your 12th house, and let's say you have no planets in your 12th house at all, as part of today's topic, as a favor to you, if you want to call me up and you want to find out what your 12th house lord is, in lieu of any other single question, I will take a look at your chart as long as you know your rising sign, and we will discover your 12th house lord, because that would be known as your enemy planet, which means the planet that rules your 12th house and is in my chart, because I'm Libra rising, all Libra risings have Virgo on the 12th in equal house astrology, and the lord of Virgo is Mercury. So my Mercury actually is in my 10th house. It is conjunct my sun, which is my father. You know, so we're starting to find out a lot, you know, that this man, that my dad, could have been somebody that I may have critically injured or killed in a past life. And if there's any pain or anxiety or anger between us, that would be why. And I also have Mercury square the moon, so the mother's involved here too. So we're starting to learn out a lot about Farley and his karma and his life situation here by understanding that 12th house lord. Like I say, if you have no planets in the 12th house, if you do or you don't, or if you do or you don't have Pisces planets, the 12th house lord is always known as the enemy or the spirit lord. Because once you make peace with your enemies, then that's when you ascend and evolve. That's what the point of this topic is. So anyway, so what do you do? What does Farley do if he finds out he has an enemy? Well, first of all, if you find out you're married to an enemy, someone that you would have hurt or killed in a past life, you'll know it, whether you know about astrology or not. Whenever you feel you've been maimed or wounded in a relationship or in life, you don't have to look at an astrology chart to know there's something wrong here. It's like being in a burning house and not leaving. So, you know, that's why I say if you're in a bad relationship, if you're in a bad marriage, if you're in a bad dysfunctional family situation, the best thing to do is make a blessing for the people involved and move on. If you work with people where you know there's ill feelings there, or you have a best friend or a lover that has turned on you severely, almost in a scary fashion, you know, then you have to identify this person and say to yourself, well, I must have injured them in a past life because now I feel wounded, so I'm going to apologize best I can, give them a blessing, and move on. So my best advice in order to experience spiritual benefits and ascension and evolution of the soul is to make a peace with yourself and the person who you now identify as an enemy, process them out of your lives so you have no contact with them anymore. That way the war is over. And like I say, even if it's a family member, like a mother, a father, or a son, or a daughter, sometimes it means no more contact like that. In order for you to ascend and be happier, sometimes that's what you got to do. You know, it has a lot to do with healing that child inside of you and absolving the karma of the soul inside your body, making a peace with it. And then, of course, that other way, obviously, is if you do work with or in a family situation with someone that you know that there's just too much tension, the best thing to do is try and steer clear, have as little contact and conversation with them as possible, as they say, walk on by. If you can't avoid that, if you can't avoid contact, then the best thing to do, obviously, is to leave, move on to something else. You know, another reason for this topic is to let you know that one of the reasons why I'm into astrology is because I understand this enemy karma thing. I understand I have been a warrior, and I feel I have been a general and a leader, field marshal in past lives, a conqueror, and that I might have done some damage and injured some people. Because you don't come back with Mars and Neptune conjunct in the 12th house unless you have done some real damage in past lives, right? So recognizing that, I like to take a look in other people's charts and see what their horoscopes do to my 12th house number one and what they also do to my 12th house lord. And if I had Pisces planets, what they do that. That's why sometimes I get the shivers when I see somebody has late Virgo in their chart in my 12th house, or early Libra, square my Uranus Venus, or late Pisces or early Aries. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Or late Sag, early Capricorn, cardinal planets, period, because they stress out my Libra factor, which is my 12th house, which is my enemy factor. So a lot of times you can avoid a war or a struggle or some kind of karma by just, recognizing that there really isn't anything there and moving on. You know, in the past, I tried to overcome this energy and go ahead and form relationships and get involved with people that had late Virgo and oftentimes early Libra. And then, the enemy thing would always come up in the end where you actually feel like people are trying to hurt you or maim you or kill you or fry you or get you fired or whatever. Some of the vindictive energies that can arise from this karma are frightening, because if you would have hurt, injured, or killed this individual in a past life, they may actually try to hurt, injure, or kill you in this life with all the anger and jealousy and vengeance that could well up between the two charts. So identifying enemy factors between the comparison of two charts is what we call synastry. Our understanding, you're having an enemy transit. Like right now, Sun, Mercury, and Venus are in Libra. They're in my 12th house. So I'm always on the lookout for people that might try to harm me or hurt me or turn on me to be a totally different type of individual. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time to read the Silver Birch, but I just want to give a little idea as a finality of this topic to kind of, for whatever reason, put an encapsulation on maybe what life is all about and sort of to soften the energy. This comes again from the book, the Pink Book, Teachings of Silver Birch, Wisdom from the World Beyond, which is channeled information. And this part is called the Divine Plan. And Silver Birch here explains something of the plan that is behind spirit communication. And this will help soften the energy of this enemy vibration. And Silver Birch says, our work is to give that which has a purpose, a significance, so that while it demonstrates the existence of law, it also enables comfort to be given and knowledge to be spread. Our work is not only to reveal the existence of laws beyond the physical, but to reveal truths of the spirit. We have a gigantic system of misrepresentation to oppose. We have to undo the work of centuries. We have to destroy the superstructure of falsity that has been built upon the foundations of creeds. We are striving always to teach the children of matter how to be free and how to bask in the sunlight of spiritual truth, how to cast off the serfdom of creedal slavery. That is not an easy task, for once the trappings of religion have mastered you, it will take a long time for spiritual truth to penetrate that thick wall of superstition. We strive always to reveal the religious significance of spiritual truth. When your world understands its spiritual import, there will be a revolution mightier than all the revolutions of war and blood. It will be a revolution of the soul and all over the world. People will claim what is their due, the right to enjoy to the full the liberties of the spirit. Away will go every restriction which has put fetters on them. Our allegiance is not to a creed, not to a book, not to a church, but to the great spirit of life and to its eternal natural laws. A great power of the spirit will descend into your world of matter. In all its countries, a mighty force of the spirit will be felt, for there is a great work to be done to counteract the selfishness and ignorance of your world. In time it will conquer, but in the process there will be much travail. Plenty of workers have come to take their stand at your side. There are those who are known to you, those who are bound to you with ties of blood, and others who are attracted to serve you out of the love that they bear for you. When you think of those whose names you know, try to realize the countless host of the unknown who serve without any desire to be known or recognized, but who give their power to be used. The world will not be converted in a blinding flash like Saul on the road to Damascus. Gradually, the light of spiritual truths will break through. As more people become aware of the great knowledge and more instruments are available for the power of the great white spirit to use. You must remember that the things of the spirit require careful nurture and progress. Sudden conversions would not be enduring, and our work is intended to be permanent. Each soul that becomes an instrument of the great spirit, each soul that moves out of darkness into light, out of ignorance into knowledge, out of superstition into truth, is helping to advance the world, for each one of these is a nail that is driven into the coffin of the world's materialism. What you must all learn is that there are two forms of development. You can unfold that which is the soul, and you can unfold that which is the spirit. One is the development of only the psychic faculty, and the other is soul growth. One day I will actually continue reading more Silver Birch, because people love it, and the books are hard to find because they're from England. My name is Farley Malaris, and this program is Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomena of the 90s, and we're here weekdays at 12 noon. And if you'd like to subscribe to this subscription radio program, public supported,